Welcome to Finding Pelvic Sanity. If you're struggling with pelvic pain, pelvic floor dysfunction, or pregnancy and postpartum issues, you're in the right place. These issues are common, but not something that you have to live with. We've seen the most complex patients from all over the world at Pelvic Sanity in Southern California. You might be feeling frustrated, embarrassed, or dismissed by the medical community, often for years. We know just how tough that can be, and we want to help you find pelvic sanity again.
We're Jesse and Dr. Nicole Cozine. Together we run Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy, wrote the IC Solution, and Nicole has trained thousands of pelvic PTs to provide better care. We want this podcast to provide hope and get you on the path to healing.
Thousands of people with pelvic health issues find relief and live healthy, happy, and pain-free lives. And so can you. Let's get started.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Finding Pelvic Sanity Podcast with Jesse and Dr. Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
Well, we're talking today about IC phenotypes. What are they and do they really matter? So we're going to dive into this. This is something we obviously covered in the IC solution, but this is actually something where there has been kind of an important research done and an important update since the book was published all the way back in 2016.
Absolutely. And just so you have a little background about me, I am a pelvic floor physical therapist. This is my jam. Jesse and I wrote the IC solution in 2016. I've been treating complex pelvic floor dysfunction and IC patients since the time that I was just a little pelvic PT. And that has been almost 20 years now of seeing some of the most complex people from all around the world at our clinic in Orange County, California. I have also, in my more recent years, about five-ish years now, have developed the first course for practitioners, pelvic floor physical therapists, and pelvic rehab providers to treat patients better with interstitial cystitis. And I just recently got back from Boston at a major national physical therapy conference where I was speaking about how to treat folks with interstitial cystitis better.
So that is actually really interesting, I'm sure, to some of our listeners, Nicole, is that it would shock you that before Nicole created it in 2020, there was not a course or any real specific information for pelvic floor physical therapists on how to best treat IC.
Correct.
And so when we're wondering about how this, you know, works and how this goes, like, that's one of the reasons we say there's a huge range of experience and expertise when it comes to treating conditions like this. That's not hyperbole. This is like some people have literally never taken any kind of specific training or course on treating IC. In fact, it's about 400 people across the country who have, and the rest have not. So when we talk about there being a difference, there really is one.
There really is one. And I will go and say this. If somebody that you're seeing has taken just the first course in how to treat people with pelvic floor dysfunction, then I've seen the coursework. It's about 3 to 4 PowerPoint slides on interstitial cystitis. And to be perfectly honest with you, half of the information is outdated to the point where I have reached out to them and been like, hey, I just saw this and we might need an update. So it's a huge, on one hand, it's a huge lack of understanding in our pelvic PT field about this condition. And also the really cool thing is that it is freaking changing. And I'm really passionate about changing it. And so each and every day, there are more and more people that are pelvic floor physical therapists, pelvic floor occupational therapists, and they are helping you by learning more about this condition. And they're passionate about it, and they are getting more informed about how to treat you better and staying up to date on all of the changes that have gone on in the last few years on IC.
So let's talk about these phenotypes, Nicole. And this is something I feel like when we wrote the book, this seemed like a new idea. This has actually been something that's been going on for decades. They've been thinking about phenotypes for at least 70 years now. But a phenotype is just an idea about a subset of a condition. And the idea is that by identifying what phenotype you are, you're better able to guide what treatment is going to be most effective. So That's the rub of what a phenotype is. You need to be able to identify it, and it needs to be able to guide your treatment. And that's where a lot of these phenotypes really failed going in, is that there was so much confusion about this, where different phenotypes were proposed. There were five or six different ones kind of vying for supremacy at one point. And, you know, it was really confusing to those people who are researching online. Oh, do I have a pudendal nerve subset? Do I have a pelvic floor subset? Do I have a bladder subset? And with all of these, there was a ton of overlap. So if there were like six proposed phenotypes, most people would have three, four, five of those phenotypes. It's like, well, that's not very helpful to say like, oh, I have five of the six phenotypes. Like, what does that mean for me? Remember, the whole point is that it's supposed to guide your treatment options. And a lot of times these start to look like just a list of symptoms. So, oh, you have urethral burning or bladder pain or suprapubic pain or low back pain or pain along the path of the pudendal nerve or urinary urgency frequency. And those are all different phenotypes in certain ideas. And it's like, well, those are just a list of the symptoms of IC. Like, it's not saying anything that you didn't already know. You already knew what symptoms you had.
Absolutely. And I think this will really ring true to any of you that have had yourself or a family member go through cancer treatment. But phenotypes are really, and honestly, the IC phenotypes that originally proposed were modeled after this cancer-based diagnosis model, where you really specifically go down a diagnostic route of figuring out exactly what type of cancer you had, and then your treatments, even for a certain type of breast cancer, would be specifically different based on what that diagnostic process left you with and what phenotype essentially you were. And it just hasn't really stuck with interstitial cystitis to think about it that way, mostly because we're still learning a lot about the condition. But now, because of the research that's been done, especially over the last 10 years, we really do have a better understanding about the condition, contrary to what all of you with interstitial cystitis might be thinking. We really do have a lot more that we know about the condition. And in this podcast, we're going to go over the three, and may I repeat, only three, recognized phenotypes by the American Urological Association most recent guidelines for interstitial cystitis.
Okay, so the three different types, and we're going to dive into a little bit more information about each one, but are Hunter's lesions, our pelvic floor phenotype, and a widespread pain or central sensitization subtype or phenotype. So those are the three that are recognized in the most recent version of the AUA guidelines. They're informed, as Nicole said, by a lot of research in the MAP study. But Nicole, let's go ahead and talk about these, because Hunter's lesions have long been their own phenotype. Everyone has kind of understood this. Well, let me actually just take a step back. I feel like one of these things, this is kind of a good point where the AUA got things right, because it really just clarified things that you as pelvic floor physical therapists had been saying for a long time.
Absolutely. So, you know, when we wrote the book in 2016, we were really doing a lot of research in 2014 and 2015. And at that time, it was like everything that I was reading was like, well, I mean, this is how we're treating folks. And we know that they have things like nervous system dysregulation. We're seeing people that have POTS and all kinds of other autonomic nervous system dysregulation issues. And also, we are seeing a raging amount of pelvic floor dysfunction in these folks. And lo and behold, like, that was one phenotype basically lumped together that basically made it seem like, well, you didn't have Hunter's lesions, therefore you were in this other category that didn't require a medical management difference in your care.
Right. So basically then, what we have then is, we think about these phenotypes. You have Hunter's lesions. Now, statistically, less than 10% of people have anything discernible wrong with the bladder itself. And this gets even more remote of a chance if you're under the age of 50. Statistics show it's less than 5%. And let's be honest, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably less than 50 years old.
Because you heard about it on Instagram or TikTok, and you're here.
And you made it here, right? So it is very unlikely that you do have Hunter's lesions. But if you do, those do require different medical management. But I think one of the real interesting pieces of that is that doesn't mean that if you get the Hunter's lesions full graded or taken care of, that symptoms disappear. So it's basically those Hunter's lesions on top of pelvic floor dysfunction or central sensitization or something else that's going on. And you still need all of those other aspects, things like nutritional consults, physical therapy, stress management, all the other things that are recommended by the AUA. It's just that the medical management is a little bit different on top of that. So that's that first category, that Hunter's lesion phenotype.
Yes. And that, remember, that is not new. We've known about that for since the 1900s.
Since Hunter was a baby, yeah. Right?
Totally.
So we've known this for a very long time. The next category is pelvic floor, the pelvic floor phenotype or pelvic floor dysfunction phenotype. Now, that is occurring in studies show at least 85% of people with symptoms of IC. Whether, I think this is an interesting question for some people, but whether it is the primary thing that drives everything or whether the pelvic floor dysfunction is in response to something like Hunter's lesions, right, which caused maybe the initial problem, but then the pelvic floor muscles tense and tight up because there's pain in that area. It can be either or. It's a chicken or egg kind of argument in some cases, but that's 85% of folks have been confirmed. And Nicole, you're very skeptical that there are really 15% that don't have any pelvic floor dysfunction at all. That seems crazy.
I know. I feel like I've literally never seen anybody like that. And, you know, I talked to some physicians and they're like, I swear some patients don't have pelvic floor dysfunction. And I'm like, show me. Send one over. Because I feel like one of the problems with the research in this field is that they're not always having pelvic floor physical therapists do the assessment of the pelvic floor muscles to deem whether or not someone has pelvic floor dysfunction. That is a slight digression. We know it's at least 85%, probably more, of folks that have interstitial cystitis or bladder pain syndrome that also have pelvic floor, and I love what Jesse said, either as a driving factor of their symptoms, meaning it's the primary reason why they have symptoms of IC, or in a response to an actual bladder lining pathology, which most people, 90% of people, don't have.
So I think it's really interesting because those first two give you a little bit of a sense of like the why of what's going on, right? Is Hunter's lesions, the 10% of folks who have those, like that kind of makes sense. Pelvic floor dysfunction, the 85-90% of folks who have that, that kind of makes sense. This last category is almost like when this is allowed to run unchecked for long enough that the nervous system, and we talk about this in the book, Nicole, and I know you talk about this in the IC Roadmap course as well, but when the nervous system really gets upregulated, we'll talk about what that means, but it's almost like the natural conclusion, if this isn't treated well early, then we end up with this third category, this widespread pain or central sensitization category or phenotype. And this is where you start to have pain outside the bladder, outside the pelvis, fibromyalgia, headaches, like all of that stuff kind of factors into this. Sensitivity to light, to touch, to pressure, anxiety, depression, trauma, PTSD, all of that stuff is kind of rolled into this widespread pain phenotype.
Yes. And so here's what I want everybody to understand about pelvic floor dysfunction. And Jesse mentioned like, oh, if things go on long enough or things go unchecked. And I know that people sitting here listening to this podcast that are 10 years into their diagnosis or lack thereof, honestly, they're 10 years into their symptoms or like laughing. It's like, yeah, I'm unchecked for that long. But here's the thing. I think when the original AUA guidelines came out, they specifically said that these symptoms are happening and the definition of IC included things more than 6 weeks of duration. They wanted people, one of the biggest reasons why the AUA guidelines were even created in the first place was that they wanted people to get diagnosed earlier and more often so that they could get to the right people. And while that is still a challenge, I think that from a broader research-based perspective that we know in pelvic pain, in areas like chronic low back pain, the presence of pain symptoms, especially in the absence of a actual pathology problem, right? Which is in this case,
an injury,
like a bladder lining problem. Then if the symptoms are present for more than 3 months, we run into potential nervous system reactions that are essentially maladaptive or not good because your body's trying to figure out, hey, normally it has pain when there's an injury, and now it's still having pain and it can't find where the problem is coming from. And it sends off alarm bells upon alarm bells. And that's what we call this nervous system upregulation. It's turning the volume knob up on the alarm system of your nervous system, saying, I need to let this person know that something's awry and I can't figure out what's going on.
So I'm going to shout louder and louder that there's an issue, right? And that's really what's going on with this widespread pain, central sensitization phenotype, is that this has been going on now and the body has turned up the volume. And it's telling you now, it's telling you there's pain in other areas. It's turned up the volume to light, to pressure. It's kind of like one of the analogies we use in, I think it's the book, Nicole, we talk about when you watch a scary movie or you've just walked through a spider web and then you feel something brush you and you're like, oh my gosh, that's a spider. Like, that's the feeling that your body is in 24/7. And so that's one of the reasons that this is so important. And we talk about like what that means, but it's kind of the natural progression. If you're dealing with chronic pain that isn't treated or isn't managed, it often leads into this kind of widespread pain, central sensitization area. And so I think when we start talking about these, Nicole, one of the things that we said at the very beginning, what is important about a phenotype is that it guides the kind of treatment that you are supposed to get. What does that mean then for, I mean, Hunter's lesions, we kind of know, right, is that that's bladder focused, that is a fulguration, right? The medical management is a little bit different. But for us, and when we give advice to folks all over the place with our remote consultations or out-of-town program, whatever it is, basically, if it's pelvic floor, if it's that second phenotype, you need to get to a pelvic floor physical therapist. If it's Hunter's lesions, you need to get to your urologist to get your Hunter's lesions taken care of and then get to a pelvic floor physical therapist. And if it's widespread pain and central sensitization, you also need to get to a pelvic floor physical therapist, because not only are they going to address the pelvic floor dysfunction that started that cascade of events, but they're also trained to do things like vagus nerve down training, right? All the things that help relax the nervous system. That's actually something that is in the purview of your pelvic floor physical therapist as well.
Absolutely. And I think that if we talk about too, and this is if you really dive into nerdy research like I do, and we talk a lot about that people with interstitial cystitis and bladder pain syndrome in the central sensitization category have a lot of what we call COPCs, which is chronic overlapping pain conditions. So whether it was the pelvic floor that caused the alarm bells to go off in the nervous system, or it was the pelvic floor that would have been fine, except for you also have things like fibromyalgia, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and mast cell activation syndrome, like other types of things that can cause that central sensitization. It does, for our purposes as pelvic floor physical therapists who are like, just come to us, we can help you with literally all of it. We know how to affect the pelvic floor. We know how to affect the widespread pain. We're literally movement experts and body experts in the hip and the back and the knee and the foot and the ankle and any other place that you have hypersensitivity to touch. And we can, there's lower abdomen pain or pain, gas and bloating and constipation and all of that stuff. Any pain that you have in the body, like, we still know what to do with it. And you get the added benefit of us understanding the nervous system component and the interventions that are different than just do more exercise or do these stretches, the actual nervous system interventions that we know how to do. And it's like you get the trifecta of us understanding all of that. And that's something that your urologist can't do. And it's literally something that no other medical practitioner can do. So regardless of what kind of phenotype you have, you need to be seeing a pelvic floor physical therapist. The only difference with what phenotype you have is if you have Hunter's lesions, which again is rare, you're going to get different treatment from your urologist. So it's really important that you understand that. I need to shout it from the rooftops. I will go to my grave saying to you guys that you need to get to a pelvic floor PT that understands interstitial cystitis early and often in your process. You don't have to have a prescription in the majority of states to make contact with a pelvic floor physical therapist at the beginning. We very often will know of the good urologists and doctors that understand this, that are up to date with the research. We're the ones, you guys. We are the ones.
So hopefully you guys have been able to find a great pelvic floor physical therapist. If you haven't, we have a previous episode all about how to find the right person, how to find somebody who is truly specializing in this, who's not just dabbling in it. But hopefully that is very helpful for you as you think about who is going to be quarterbacking your care with all this. So regardless of what phenotype you are, don't let that get in the way or become this, you know, almost distraction. When you really start to think, when the rubber meets the road, what do I need to do regardless of what phenotype? It's find a freaking great pelvic floor physical therapist. They're going to be the ones who are going to be able to walk you through this. So we hope this episode has been helpful. For more information, make sure that you guys are in the Finding Pelvic Sanity Facebook group. That is a support group of 5,000 plus folks who are dealing with IC and pelvic floor issues. You can check that out in there. We will have an IC guide for you and a ton more information, a really supportive community. It's one that we curate, so the information in there is practical and positive and really helpful. If you guys want more information on IC specifically, we've got some in the show notes. You can obviously get the book, get it at a library. Like, honestly, we don't care. We just want you to get the information. That's the IC solution. Or you can check out Nicole's IC Roadmap course. That is 6+ hours of the most up-to-date video content. You can see that as well. So all of that stuff is going to be in the show notes. But we just want you guys to be able to get to help, to be able to find somebody who's going to be able to really understand the condition, who has a good knowledge of what's going on, and is going to be able to help you regardless of which of these phenotypes you identify with. So hopefully this has been really helpful. We love hearing from you guys. Please make sure to subscribe. We're going to have a lot of great podcasts coming up. We're really excited about all of those. We'll see you guys on the next episode.
And we hope that this episode has helped you to find just a little bit of pelvic sanity.